Hey, what's up, people? How are you all doing today? My name is Jordan McCracken Foster, and I'm a teaching artist here at Art Prop. And I'm here today with Alex Rowe, and we are going to do a paint along working on rocks and gouache and in Procreate. And if you would like to turn your artistic weakness into your strength, definitely check out artprof.org, where we have lots of free resources, tutorials, critiques, art dares, and all that fun stuff. And let's see. So today we're just going to be painting stuff. I'm super excited. It's the first draw along that Alex and I have done together. So yeah, let's get into it.
I'm so stoked.
Oh,
I've been looking at this blank paper for what felt like forever to finally get started.
you know, that's how it is. I for those of you guys didn't see, but I've been trying to figure out how to get the high-res photos on Procreate for a bit because I had a couple technical difficulties, but we'll see how it all goes. Let's see how it goes. But Alex, so tell me, what is your process? 'Cause I've actually never like worked with you on something like this, so I'm curious, like what
Oh,
do you
dude,
prefer?
yeah.
All that.
Now, right now, it's just the like blocking things out with pencil. I'm not really even worried about shading, just working online. And it's funny, I'm looking at, and you can barely see it on the camera, but that's okay. It's funny, I was actually, Clara and I were talking about that, where I was like, should I use a darker pencil than I use so that people can see it? And it's like, no, like this is what I recommend you do. Do light pencils so that you can barely see it yourself. How about you? What's your process? It looks like you're kind of doing basically the same structure, like starting light and then working with the lines.
Yeah, well, actually, I looked at the camera or looked at our stream, and I was like, oh shoot, I can barely see that. I'm sure others can't see it. But I do start with like the loose sketch first and just trying to get an understanding of what it is that I'm doing. And like you said, just being very basic about it and figuring out, you know, what is there. I find that that's super helpful to just not focus on all the little details. Slipnir says, quoting Tom Petty in Heartbreakers, everybody must get stoned.
I am, yeah, y'all, if you don't have some of the best rock puns for this stream, I won't be mad, just disappointed.
Yeah, we talked about some that we wanted to see, actually. I wonder if they're gonna
Actually, yeah, we'll give you a shout out if you can you say some of the ones we were thinking of.
It's gonna be awesome. So, you know, I'm wondering if I want to stick to the same sizes here too, because I'm noticing that a lot of these rocks are a little too similar for me, so I might take a little artistic freedom or artistic license and just shift things around a bit more.
Yeah, I can hear like heavy metal guitar just in the background. Just take some artistic license.
Exactly. Dara is saying, are they making a composite of two images?
Actually, whoopsies, they're pretty much the same image. One of them is zoomed in closer so we can get some of the details on the rocks and stuff.
Yeah, and for me, depending on how quickly I get through this, I may, or if I get bored, just either way, I might move on to another image, but I doubt I'll get to doing more than two. I'm considering these as the same image just because they are the same, like, you know, same sort or location. Location, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, and yeah, guys, if I get bored, I'll just start noodling away and you'll be able to tell. But or I'll this will become a demo on how to remove a piece of paper from an artist block.
Do you often find that you get bored during your own like drawings or paintings or anything like that?
What's really funny is this is kind of what Deepti and I were talking about last draw along, that there's something about it being live and us being watched, for lack of a better phrase, that like it makes you push through the humps, you know?
Mm.
those periods where you're like, oh, this is not turning out well, or I should probably just restart this one.
Yeah, I feel that. There's definitely an extra sense of pressure that comes from just doing it live that you can't really get anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. That moss is gonna be nice.
Debating if I want to do a slightly cleaner sketch or if I just want to move into some color right now. Guess I can clean it up just a little bit. So what have you been up to this week, Alex? How's everything going for you? Because we haven't been, like I said before, we haven't been on a stream.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's been forever since we caught up.
This week's been exciting. I've been, let's see. So the new coffee shop in Houston has opened up, and that's kind of exciting, kind of working with a new business starting up. Reminds me of the early days of Art Prof in a lot of ways. I'll talk about it because it hasn't even entered the sketch phase, but want to do like a short mini graphic novel that I want to start working on, no longer than 10 pages, about an alien abduction, which I think would be a lot of fun.
Ooh,
yeah.
Did you have the idea of the story in your mind for a while, or is it just kind of like something kind of off the cuff?
Very much off the cuff, because the other graphic novel idea I have is big and broad and honestly intimidates me. So I'm kind of giving myself this alien one that's like just going to be fun. I'm going to limit it to 10 pages, almost viewing it as like a homework assignment of like, yeah, just have fun with it, you know, kind of get to learn the comic medium a little bit more again. How about you? What have you been up to?
I have been, sorry guys, I don't know what's going on with my stream. Let me try and fix that. But as we're doing that, oh, there we go. I was like, oh, where'd my art go? Lately, I've actually been also working on some writing stuff. You guys know I've been working on my personal project, Shadowboxers, for a while. And it's getting to a stage where I can start writing out like specific scenes and things like that. So I've been working on that and learning a lot about screenwriting. Because I've never really had a class in it that I can remember, and I just feel like now's the best time to figure it out. So I've been doing a lot of that, and trying to keep from being bored in the house. My mom and I have this little saying whenever we talk on the phone. She asks how we're doing, and it comes from a TikTok video, and it's a bored in the house, sitting in the house, bored. That's what it is. That's become our mantra.
I'm going to take that. Bored in the house, sitting in the house, bored.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah. And trying to find new interesting shows and movies to watch, things like that.
Oh, okay. I'm really curious when you said like you're writing scenes and stuff. So when I think back to me like making comics in high school or even like working on stuff now, I have these scenes in my head that I think are like the real things that get me started. The big question, was it kind of like that for you with Shadowboxers, where you would picture like moments or scenes or intense periods with it?
Yeah, definitely. I know exactly. Well, so I've outlined like the whole story on a very basic level, like Wikipedia article style. But there were certain specific things. I was like, oh, I want my characters to do this, and I want them to do this. And what's funny, I actually learned that George Lucas did something kind of similar when he was doing Indiana Jones. And he would say stuff like, I want to do a car chase. I want to make sure we have this. And with no idea of how it would happen in the script or where, but they were able to put some of those things in there. So that's kind of the method that I've been using.
That's very cool.
We have a comment from Vishaka Ray. What color is Alex starting with, and why did he choose that color?
Woohoo. So this time I started off with Venetian red at the base. Then I followed that up with some olive green, and then going back now with some cerulean blue. And for those of you that watched the last stream, you'll notice that I didn't do an underpainting. That's because some of the highlights on these rocks, I want to keep the white of the page intact. So no underpainting this time. I'm just trying to keep it a little bit loose.
Mm-hmm. So what is the process in deciding whether or not you use an underpainting? Because that's always something that I've heard from like every teacher is like, make sure you do underpainting. So it's super important and you don't want the white of the page showing. So how do you, how'd you make that decision?
That's one that it's funny. It comes from me looking at this image and deciding I want to use a little bit more of the watercolor side of gouache rather than the thick opacity. And basically, in looking at the photo reference that we're working with, I saw that a lot of the highlights in the rocks were almost like pure white, like just 100% reflective light straight from the sun. And I wanted to kind of capture that without having applied paint to make it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, it's cool. It looks like I'm peeking over at your screen on Procreate. Are you using some like color matching, like making sure your brush is looking?
Yes.
Like, any tones and shape?
Yeah, so basically what I like to do is this helps me learn color when I do this, but instead of just color picking, which is incredibly easy on a digital tool like Procreate, yeah. I like to test my knowledge and I'll go like, okay, based on what I know about color theory, this feels like a cool gray, like in a blue. So I'll test that out and I'll put a mark down. And depending on how that mark looks there, I'll adjust it or I'll move on to the next one. And I start making my color decisions based on that. And I find it really, really helpful when I'm kind of confused on certain stuff. Like here,
that's so smart. Dark.
Yeah, it's really fun. I learned this in school. And like, you know, I'm thinking about this whole space might look like a dark green like I put here, but now I'm looking at it and it's closer to like a almost like a purplish like red kind of color, but like with some grays. So I'm trying to figure that out, and once I get enough of them, then I feel comfortable moving on to the actual painting. And I've, you know, it helps me figure things out, I think.
Yeah, and it's so cool how you're kind of be like, eh, like it would be really easy to just, you know, select it with the eyedropper, but no, it's like, how can I train my eye a little bit better?
Right. And the coolest part is it's such an easy, quick step. Like it only takes me a couple minutes. And then the rest of that time, I have an identified color palette that I can use for everything else that I need in this piece. So yeah, I definitely really encourage doing that, especially when the temptation strikes.
Yeah, this is a fun piece for color. Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
It's just a fun piece for color where you look at it, you're like, okay, grass is green, rocks are red. And then you look and you're like, no, there's a lot of blues in there, there's a lot of yellows, a lot of purples. It's a good trip.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember being a freshman at RISD and they would put up the two gray squares, and one would be surrounded by an orange and one would be surrounded by a blue or something like that. And the two grays would be the same, but they look different. And just trying to understand that concept blew my mind. I can never really get it. And until very recently, I was like, what in the world are they talking about? You know?
Yeah.
I really struggled with that. But
actually, yeah. Everyone, if you're still listening at home, around August every year, if you face east and listen very closely, you can hear a bunch of freshmen's minds. Just because I had the same experience with that. I was like, what?
So do you have your story? Do you remember exactly how that went about your mind being blown?
Actually, yeah, it was with a painting professor who was talking about how if you put thin varnishes one on top of the other, say you have red and green, if you have a thin varnish of green on top of the red, you could make it where they don't neutralize each other, but you can see pieces of each color. And I'm like, what? Woof. Yeah.
That was something else. Color is one of those things that's so important, but also incredibly difficult and challenging to figure out as a newbie, you know, like as a new artist trying to just get into it. I find that it's incredibly intimidating for people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, finish your comment.
Oh, no. When I lost my train of thought.
All right. Well, I'll read this next comment from Naftali. Alex, do you tone the paper when you use gouache?
Ooh. I normally do, but for this one, I decided against it because there are certain areas that I want to reserve to be just the clean white of the page. I typically will tone the whole thing before even doing the underpainting. But in this one, I was kind of feeling like going a little bit off the grid a bit.
Let's see. I think now I can start lowering the opacity of the lines. Let's see how this turns out. I said this before, but painting has always been a challenge for me. And I haven't practiced painting in Procreate outside of doing these streams. So it's always really, really interesting doing stuff like this.
It's joked about this with DFD. Every painting I do, there's always this page where it's like you look back and you're like, oh, this is terrible. This is awful.
Exactly. Oh, we have a comment. Oh, we got a comment from Neil. It says, Jordan, what's your experience with painting with gouache? Also, will you be in the wet charcoal drawing stream? If Clara puts me in a wet charcoal stream, oh my goodness, that might just crush me. I don't know. You guys all know how I feel about charcoal. In terms of my experience with gouache, the first time I used gouache, I didn't know I was using it, actually, because it was before I even heard of it, and I just got it paint for a class one day, and I found it incredibly challenging to paint with. It was like really hard to get a lot of movement with it. I didn't know what I was doing. And I like the look of it, but I haven't had enough practice with it. So one of these days, we're going to have Alex teach me how to use gouache in a more professional manner.
Oh, well, I can't teach anyone how to do anything professionally, but
in a more professional manner, because here it is.
It's like step one. First, you got to relax. Just take a nap. No, okay. We'll save it for the future Art Prof Utah vacation.
Oh, yeah. We got to figure that out. Cause
Claricon.
Exactly. Love to do that.
We take iPads and gouache, and it's that kind of I saw this cheesy thing on like I can't remember if it was like a Tumblr post or something, but it was like an astronaut and a deep sea diver, and it was like a love poster, you know, for love, and it said, you show me the stars and I'll show you beneath the water, you know. And I thought that's a really cool way to like learn things from each other.
Yeah, I need to go on a trip with you guys. I actually, you know, you guys all know I haven't met most of the crew in person, including Alex. So, yeah, just a trip and just to get all the art madness out, that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be so much fun.
You know, I was joking with my siblings about visiting Houston, Texas. And there's some cool art stuff out here. Rothko Chapel, great museums. But yeah, it's not something that would otherwise draw you in. I think I feel the same way about Utah, and nothing to disparage Utah, but until Clara moved there and showed us these beautiful scenes of the nature out there, I was like, wow, like I never thought I'd want to visit Utah so badly.
I agree, because there's just certain places you never hear about, especially like someone like me. I'm from LA, born and raised, and everyone always wants to go to LA and see what that's like. And so, and when you're in a city like that, can't speak for everybody, but for me, no one ever talked about Utah. I have friends and family who don't even know like where Utah is on the map per se. So yeah, just interesting. It's really interesting.
I'm picturing just an LA scene of people just like eating good LA food and be like, oh, but this isn't nothing until you've had the sushi in Utah.
Exactly. Exactly. Just never know. Just never know.
It's funny that your experience with LA, that's the thing I'm always very curious about. People who, ooh, wait, time out. We got a pun. Why are you guys so good? Is it because you take nothing for granted?
Oh my gosh. That's not one of the ones we were thinking of, but that is a really good one. That's pretty good.
Very I'm going to go ahead and start ranking them. That's so far, that's number one.
Jackie says, Jordan, when I want to color an area, sometimes it paints the hole in that color. What did I do wrong? I want to paint. Wait, hold on. When I want to color an area, sometimes it paints. You might be dragging the, let me see. So sometimes you might have a reference layer on, which will make it so that every color obeys whatever lines that you have set on the reference layer. It must be the layer part. How does that work? Okay, so just really quickly, I'll show you how reference layers work. So let's say I have this happy face. I tap on the layer and I go to reference. No matter what I do, it'll always refer to these lines. So, and it can be on a different layer. You see, I've made a brand new layer. Now, ordinarily, if I dragged the orange, it would have just filled the entire thing in. But because I have it restricted by this reference layer, that's what happens. So if I were to take this off of reference and make a new layer, it just fills the whole canvas. So that might be part of your problem. Hopefully it is. Otherwise, I just explained something completely different to you. But yeah, let me know how that works out.
Hey, okay, here's another one. When it comes to art, it helps to be bolder.
Where are you guys coming up with these? I bet, you know what? I wonder if some people thought about these beforehand and were just waiting for the right moment, you know, because that's actually really clever. I do enjoy puns sometimes, though.
Oh, they are the highest form of humor.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I used to have a roommate when I was at RISD who was just the king of making puns, and it was hilarious. We're like, dude, do you know any other form of comedy? Like, what is up with that pun?
What always gets me is when people say them without like putting that joke inflection on their voice, and they just say it.
It's the best.
Ooh. Okay.
I think I might be making this too difficult for myself, I'm gonna kind of semi, not restart, but I'm gonna rethink how I'm approaching this.
That's a good way to phrase that.
Just, you know, for me, I've made some paintings that I feel are successful, but I would not say I've mastered painting, and so I always have to treat it like I'm a complete noob. Because it doesn't come as easily as drawing for me. And it's just always been like that. And hopefully one day it won't be, but until that time.
Yeah. That's a very Zen idea. Like, we are always striving for mastery. And we'll never get there.
Yeah. Unless, yeah, well, some artists I would like to consider our masters, but some other people may not. W315Bird says, Jordan, if your face circle wasn't totally closed, the color would get inside, right? Yes, that is correct. If it wasn't totally closed, then it would have just gone inside and it would have messed up everything. So good question. Mike Davis says, do you wet the paper down when using gouache? Doesn't it have a different look or color value when it dries?
Oh, yes. So gouache is fun. A lot of people like it when they first start using it because it's a different color when it's on the palette, a different color wet, and a different color dry, which is a very consistent, troubling medium to work with. But it's the kind of thing where I don't want to say you get used to it, but you come to know what to expect. Mm. You come to know, like, and I think honestly what helps is honestly not cleaning your palette and keeping, let me show you guys how messy my palette gets. In keeping your palette dirty like this, of course, within reason, but you can kind of see like how the colors will dry out and kind of get a sense of, oh, I'm going to nab some of this, put it over there. And you kind of start to go with the flow a little bit more with it. I hope that made sense and didn't just put you off gouache forever.
I'm sure someone is not intimidated by that. They're like, bring it on. I want to learn all the stuff. Yeah, this painting isn't coming out the way that I want, but oh well. It's just one of those days.
This is a big exercise in patience for me because I'm looking at a couple points of reflective light in there, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be really yummy to paint, but not yet. Can't get there yet. Yeah, that, how can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat kind of thing?
Right, for sure. I think I might have had too many colors to start with for my underpainting. I think that might be the issue I'm facing right now. So I might have to kind of revise that as I go.
Let's see
here. Seven Angelic is saying two bouldery. Wait, two. Is it bouldery or blowdery? To boldly go where no artist has gone before.
Hey, okay, that's a good one.
Okay. I like how that's become like the challenge of the day. It's like, who can come up with the best meme? I'm still waiting for someone to figure out the ones that we were thinking of before the stream started, though. No one's gotten close yet.
Yeah, we'll give you hints in a bit, maybe.
we'll try hints. We'll do that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna try this again. I'm gonna make a new layer and I'm gonna try again. Not happy with this at all.
Let's switch back to this year brush.
JD Corrigan says, since Jordan mentioned George Lucas earlier, if he were here, he would say, may the quartz be with you.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh my goodness, that's a good one. May the quartz be with you. That's really, really clever. Uncurious AJ says, hopefully y'all didn't have a rocky start. Oh my gosh,
terrible. That was great.
Oh, wow, you guys are something. You guys are something else.
It's funny. I was thinking of what you were saying earlier of like your confidence with drawing, but then painting feels like a new thing. I'm kind of understanding what you're saying. I feel like I'm painting more quote unquote painterly than I normally do with this. It feels really strange.
Well, why do you feel that way? Because you're used to painting like rocks and stuff, and especially painting in gouache in general.
Yeah, I think just the idea of, if I'm honest, the idea that mentally this is a study. I think I have a hard time sitting down and being like, all right, this is just a study. Everything I paint, I always have that stressful idea of like, this is for my portfolio or yada, yada, yada. To just work on something to build the craft is very soothing.
Yeah, I feel that. And you know, there's always this expectation of, because I do this professionally for a living, that everything I do needs to be at a certain level. And then combine that with being live and then, you know, working in, you know, in a, on a painting, it's like, whoa, I actually have so much more to learn. So, you know, it's definitely a humbling, humbling experience a lot of times. The Madicap says, how do you get your gouache so thin without seeming really watery?
It's, I think best way to work around that is to create wet gouache on the palette, but then still dab it off on a paper towel before painting with it. Yeah, that's a fun, that's a really good question, because one of those things I didn't realize was a habit that I have with it. Not a bad habit by any means, but yeah, like that, there is a way to thin down gouache without making it drip like a watercolor.
Yeah, I was noticing that actually. I was like, wow, it actually feels more like watercolor than gouache. Maybe because I'm not as familiar with how gouache is supposed to look, because I never use it.
Yeah. But
I definitely got that feeling, that vibe from it.
No, I'm definitely going tipping onto that watercolor side for this one. Gotta just share with y'all something. This brush I'll never, ever, ever get rid of. Because the way the bristles, I don't know why it does this. It's very unique, but it makes this pattern. And like, that's, I love it. I don't know what did it, but it's incredible. I'll never get rid of that brush.
Awesome.
It's very old.
We have a comment from Ishaka says, what exactly is being painterly? Is it brush strokes that you're referring to?
I love that question. Yeah, Jordan, I think my thought on that is painterly is more of a mindset of, I might be like way off on the deep end here, but saying like painterly is more like an exploration. And I know that that's potentially a cop-out area answer. What do you think about that? How would you define like painting versus drawing and appropriate?
Whenever I hear painterly, I just think of the word loose and free. You know, like something that doesn't feel restrictive at all. I think that's the first thing my mind always jumps to. And because the term painterly is so specific to paint sounding, you know, I think that's what I picture. I think the equivalent for drawing would be gestural. Like a very similar word. That means something, you know. That means something like that. So yeah, I just picture having fun, not being too caught up in details, and just letting the medium do what it does best. And sometimes you just can't always control that. Yeah, this is feeling a little bit better now. Mike Davis says, since the George Lucas comment, oh, we got another one. I am reminded that Ralph McQuarrie's paintings were important in getting Steve's excited about Star Wars movies, just thinking about the power of visualization. Yeah, actually, you guys want to hear something really cool. At my school, where I went for grad school, we actually have some original Ralph McQuarrie Star Wars drawings in our library. And they're hanging up on the wall, so you can see them. And so, if I remember correctly, there's one with Vader facing Obi-Wan, I think, from A New Hope. And that was just really cool to see. Another good artist to look at is Sid Mead from around the same kind of time period, and considered the godfather of concept art. And I love looking at that sort of stuff. Just, you know, people like that literally create a whole industry. Without those two in particular, I don't think the world of concept art and visual development would be where it is today, quite honestly. Or at least it would, we would know different names. I'm sure some would figure it out.
I'm actually, Jordan, Sid Mead, that name is ringing a big bell in my brain, but I can't place it.
Worked on Blade Runner. And
okay.
And you ever watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones?
Oh yeah.
You know that drawing of the Ark of the Covenant in the history book that?
Oh, that was him.
Yeah, that was Sid Mead. Actually, we did a stream on that. Claire and I did a stream on that months ago, maybe even a year ago at this point. But it was, it was really, really cool going through that.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Starving Artist Collective has a question for you. It says, Alex, do you paint thin wash to thick paint? Like to lean to that principle in oil painting. Always thought of gouache as a thick medium.
Oh, yes. That is such a big point. Always I do thin to thick. There's nothing wrong with starting thick, but you have to know that it's hard to work from that. You can't really build onto that base without causing everything to go mushy. So right now I can rework and slowly add on top without, a big old bug. Hey, buddy. Wait, did he get into the screen? He rested on the paper for a second.
Wait, what? What just happened? I was looking down.
No, a big bug like really quickly flew by like right in front of my painting here.
Oh.
We got to do that on the Halloween stream. Just set a tarantula loose or something.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be terrible. But yeah, no, I always go thin to thick so I can add on. And we're only 36 minutes in. So you guys are in this one, you're definitely going to see me go thicker with the gouache on top of this one. So you can see kind of what that looks like in comparison. So stay tuned, as it were.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here he is. Hi, buddy. Oh, nope. He's gone again.
Naphtali says, Jordan, you mentioned shadow boxers. Will you try it again? Wait, what did I say I would try? I'm confused.
Oh, you're trying it again. Every day you're trying it again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actively working on it, so... if you could be a little more specific about what I specifically said I was going to try, because I'm not quitting that project at all. If that was the impression I left, that's not the case. But I'm not sure what that question was saying. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi. Yeah, it's one of those big mosquito bugs that eats other mosquitoes. You know.
Oh. You remind me of Bob Ross a little bit just now, just letting creatures just come in and hang out and be like, hey, how you doing, buddy? What's up? Hey,
sweet little guy. He's just sniffing around my palate.
Yeah. Mike Davis has a question. It says, aside, Alex, how are your counseling and psychology career plans going? Oh, let's hear about that. Ooh,
actually, that's a great question. Yeah. So I've got to take some more classes and I want to get some research experience under my belt. Because, and I'm not saying this in any way to disparage my art background of just being realistic, like an art background is very atypical for pursuing graduate studies in another subject. So I do have to do a little bit of catch up work, which is not a problem, I think, because primarily I want to work with mental health as it relates to artists and musicians, writers, and creative types. But yeah, that is just going to be an extra hurdle. So I think I'm going to use, I was shooting for 2021, but there's this little, the coronavirus has put a wrench in the wheels a little bit. So I am A-okay just kind of taking some more classes this year and continuing that process on for next year. But yeah,
it's exciting.
I am so stoked.
So does that mean you would be Dr. Rowe at some point?
It's really funny. I decided against PhD program where, I was thinking about it, and I mean, if I can be honest on the stream, I think a lot of it had to do with my own ego. Where PhD is you conduct research, which I thought would be nice, but honestly, when I got to thinking about it, I think I wanted to be Dr. Rowe. I'm not even kidding. When in reality, I only need a master's, which is a 2-year program, to do what I really want to do, which is work with patients. So, yeah, I think in the course of it, I'll shoot for master's first, and then if I'm interested in research, going back for that Dr. Rowe Ronis.
Dr. Ronis.
But yeah, because I am interested in like legitimately researching kind of how artists deal with the mental challenges of being an artist.
Like, can you give an example?
Yeah, I think what kind of got me on this whole train of thought was in Colorado, a lot of my friends were in, a lot of them were in a bluegrass band, some of them were writers. There was me, the illustrator, poet, and we were all creative types. And we all realized that it was very, very hard to communicate to each of our respective like mental health therapists what being a creative was like. That kind of, at times, pressure, at times, intense joy, and then strange sense of responsibility in being a creative for your profession. And kind of, yeah, like I want to kind of come to a therapy side from that angle.
That's really cool. I don't think I've heard of many people say that they want to do anything like that.
I hope it's helpful. Cause yeah, like, I mean, that's when I think of like some therapy that me and friends have gotten in the past about creative work, it's like, oh, just take a break, like take time off, which don't get me wrong, very effective, but it's also like, no, man, I can't take a break. I gotta do this thing, you know?
Right. There's one thing that one of my teachers said was that having an understanding of psychology and art at the same time is going to make you better. You know, like understand the psychology of color or shape or just little things like that, or for any type of design or medium or what's the word? Like track, if you want to do fine art or illustration or comics or something like that, like it's going to be incredibly helpful to do stuff like that and understand it.
Okay, that is speaking my language, because it's funny, back at RISD, those were the things that I really sunk my teeth into, like Joseph Campbell and Jung, and like ideas of archetypes and visual narrative and storytelling. And it's only now, almost a decade later, that I'm like, oh wait, I might have been more interested in the psychological aspects than the art making aspects in some of those concepts.
Hey, but at least you're figuring it out now.
And I mean, I always want to give this asterisk of like, I am in no way regretting like my art education. Like, I think that I wouldn't go back and change it in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it's what's fueling me going into the realm I'm going into now. But yeah. I'm having so much fun with these shadows, dude.
Slempner says, yes, Alex, you need to get your ducks in a row. Oh, that's a that's a really interesting one. Have you heard that one before, Alex?
Oh, that's so good. I actually hadn't. The big one was row, row, row your boat.
That's amazing. Anonym says, Alex, do you like painting with acrylics as well? What are some differences between painting acrylic versus gouache when it comes to layering?
Short answer, and I very short answer is I don't like painting with acrylics. but no, I think that acrylics dry too quickly for me. So when I paint with them, I have to use like a slow dry medium, which really helps making layers. But I think the biggest thing, since acrylic is plastic based, when it dries, it can't be reworked. So when you make layers, that's where you can get the cool thing of like one color on top of another, and you can see elements of both if you layer it well with a thin enough varnish. Whereas gouache, it's kind of the end always kind of ties in with the beginning. Like the colors you put on at the end become different colors because of the layers beneath them. It's a very kind of beautiful thought about our own lives, you know?
I actually don't know, but that's awesome that you were able to compare that. That's really cool.
Yeah, you gotta, everything you do is always dependent on the things you've done in the past, you know?
Okay. I can see that. That's awesome.
I am not used to talking while I'm painting, I gotta say. So I'm like, we'll see where this goes, you know?
Oh, no, don't even worry about it. I have done and said things. I've made incomplete sentences a bunch of times. I've had really profound thoughts, and I think back later, I'm like, I don't know what I was saying. And then I've said some things where I'm like, whoa, that was great. just have fun.
I watched some old drawing streams, and you're just, the moon is hollow. That's all I'm saying.
All that stuff, right? It's where the ideas come in. It's where those ideas shine, you know. Neil says, Alex, is it possible to glaze a thin layer of gouache over a thicker layer without ruining everything?
Without ruining anything? It's very, very challenging. Actually, here, I'm going to go ahead and just do a little daub down in the corner here. And this is going to be like a cooking show where we're going to let this sit in the oven for a little bit. But down here in the bottom, right there, I'm going to do like a gob of thick paint. And then I'll kind of show what happens when you go over that when it's applied so thickly. Because that is a very good question, and one that it's best to kind of show rather than tell.
All right, let's see it.
So just for dramatic effect, we're just going to go whoop straight from the tube. And we'll just let that dry. So we'll come back to that in a minute.
Oh my goodness. JD Corrigan says, that's my sediments out. Exactly, Alex. These are the best.
That's a pretty good one.
They're all really clever to me, actually. I'm liking all the memes, or the puns, I mean, sorry, not memes. I guess they could become memes, maybe.
Yeah, y'all got a screenshot.
Yeah. As you're doing that, Alex, there's another question for you. It says, can we see your gouache palette? I have trouble making mine and don't know if I should have it thick or light.
Absolutely. I'm going to do this. Whoop, whoop, whoop. So that was a moment where I had to operate quickly while the paint was still wet, or else it would ruin the whole thing. So, this here is my palette. It's little and broken, but still good.
It's so broken? Oh,
snap. Actually, my watercolor palette is broken right down the middle. I did that so that I could fit it in my backpack easier.
So you broke it on purpose?
Yeah, broken in half, so half of it's warm, half of it's cool. But yeah, so the globs in here, and then this center area that I work in, I just, sometimes I'll clean this off in between paintings, sometimes I won't. Yeah, it's kind of perpetually a mess, but like, you know, those people where it's like a disorganized living room, but they can find everything. It's kind of like that.
Got it. Yeah, that's my desk right now. If you guys could see my desk, it's littered with stuff.
The only color that's always spotless on my palette is Naples yellow, because I reserve that for like that pure highlight a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So that's the only one that doesn't get muddied up. Let's see here.
JD Corrigan says, I've decided to wait for art supplies to go on sale before I buy anymore.
Yeah.
You're on a roll, JD Corrigan. That's like the second or third one I've seen from JD. That's awesome.
That's A plus.
You get an A for the day.
Everyone
else needs to step their game up.
There's got to be an erosion pun, but I can't.
We're too busy doing art to think of puns right now.
Yeah.
We're off the hook for the day. Or at least we should be allowed to be off the hook. Desti Git channel says, do you have some tips on using wash, like how much you mix it with water? Because I have, wait, CS. What's CS mean? I don't know what CS. I have it using before, and I think it becomes a watercolor than a gouache.
That's not entirely a bad problem. Like, actually, if we want to get technical in this one here, so since gouache and watercolor are essentially chemically the same thing, except for one very minor key difference, the gum arabic is in the watercolor. This painting I've done so far, you could argue, is a watercolor painting because I'm using the gouache like watercolor so far. I'm starting to in areas like here and here get into that thick gouache-iness that gouache is known for. But honestly, like these big swaths, I'm using it so lightly, it might as well be watercolor. But yeah, I don't think there's a wrong way to use gouache. Don't eat it. But
don't eat it.
Don't eat it. But other than that, I don't think there's a wrong way to use gouache.
You know, I'm glad you said that because
you heard it here, folks.
That made me think of the Gorilla Glue lady. Because apparently the issue, or actually apparently she's suing Gorilla Glue because it says not to put it on your skin or your clothes, but it doesn't say anything about your hair. Well, so she's suing him for that.
Well, I guess.
And Neil came out with a great pun. It says an erosion.
Hey, okay. Hey. I was thinking erosion like in something with paint, but that's pretty good. That's pretty stellar. Yes.
Naftali says, Jordan, just call me Tally. Oh, Tally. Okay. Hi, Tally. Thank you for joining the stream. I meant, do you make paper shadow boxes? Oh, okay. So there's a misunderstanding. Ooh. Shadow Boxers is the name of a personal project that I'm working on. It's the title. And so I've talked about it on a couple of streams here. And I wonder, you know what? I'll even show you one of the characters for it since it's in this folder here. This is one of my characters for it that I drew on the stream one time. So, yeah, that's what Shadow Boxers is about. Well, not really about, but that's what I was referring to.
Sweet.
Connor Close says, hey, Jordan, do you use any sort of screen protector for your iPad that emulates the texture of paper? I do. I have this right here. I happen to have it next to me. Called Tech Armor. And it's maybe somewhere between $10 and $20. I got it off of Amazon like a couple of years ago. And the only thing I would say is just make sure whatever you do, it fits for the iPad that you have. Not just size, but the newer iPad doesn't have a home button like mine does, so just make sure you got that all settled. But it's a really great textured protector. Yeah, I was like, what's the word?
It's a textured texture.
Yeah, that happens all the time. So yeah, just make sure you account for that, and you should be good to go. They also have little texture things you can put on the tip of the Apple Pencil. I just don't like those as much, but they work for some people.
Okay, I was just going to ask you about those, funny enough, because I've heard people say like mixed things about them, rather. It's like, you can take it or leave it, or other people being like, oh, I couldn't use it without that.
The paper texture or the one that fits on the Apple Pencil?
The pencil one. I think universally I've heard that the paper texture on the iPad, people love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally just like the texture on the screen simply because it doesn't move, you know, it's kind of stuck on there. the little ones that you put on the tip of the Apple Pencil, they come off pretty easily, and they also just feel kind of clunky. There's a rubberiness to it that makes it kind of hard if you're trying to do something like this, like move it across the screen. So for those reasons, I'm like, I don't really need it that much. But that's also just my personal preference, because, you know, some people just don't like drawing on the iPad in general, and that's a whole nother battle. So I personally think that everyone kind of has to figure out what fits for them, what works for them. As artists, like, I don't like charcoal, so I hope we won't ever have to touch it again, but, you know, it is what it is.
I think it's a beautiful medium. I just can't stand the sound it makes on the page.
Yeah, I don't like the sound. It looks great. It definitely looks great. I agree with you there. But I could. It might just be my own inability to use it the way that some others can. I can never get as much differentiation and value with charcoal. And it was just dirty, and everything was gigantic, and I'd have to carry my giant my art pad in the snow or in the rain. Too many bad memories. iPad, I could just, or it's clipboard, I could just put it in the backpack and just roll out and not even bring any attention to myself.
And how?
Just nice and simple. Sheila55 says, do you know how to avoid acrylic to clump on the canvas when painting? I mean, so you can feel.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, feel it with your hand. Okay. Do you know how to avoid acrylic to clump on the canvas when painting? I mean, so you can feel it with your hand. I don't really understand the question, so.
I'm thinking, so it could be, and let me, like, please elaborate if I'm missing the mark. Do you mean, like, getting acrylic on where your hand, like, smudges against it? If that's the case, I think that honestly it takes a lot of just honestly retraining yourself to not touch your hand to the paper. But what also works is there's a technical name for these. I can never remember them, but it's like a stick that you can hold and you kind of rest your wrist on it as you're painting. So you might be referring to that. But please elaborate if I'm missing the mark.
That's another thing about working digitally. I don't have to worry about smearing what I've been working on. I never have to worry about that. I just have to worry about it crashing on me.
Oh.
Which isn't much better, to be totally honest. But I will say, Procreate is really good about crashing. If I ever have an issue and just backs out, it usually saves it to the point that I worked on. I just lose my undos. That's like the worst thing that happens.
So, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because it just auto saves. That's the really nice thing. You don't have to think about it. It just automatically saves every single time.
Oh, yeah, that's stellar.
Yeah. Tally says, my bad, I got confused. No worries, no worries. Alex, besides paper, what other surfaces can you use, can gouache be painted on?
That's actually a really good question, because not many. I think that the way gouache works, it's similar to watercolor in that, how do those pigments adhere? They adhere because as the water gets absorbed into the paper, it takes the pigment with it. And that's what makes the color adhere. Similar to how, like, fresco paintings were done by the paint pigment put on wet plaster as it was applied to the wall. So the pigment would absorb into the plaster and make the painting. So similarly with watercolor and gouache, since they're water-based mediums. So therefore, it can't really absorb into a lot of other things. Like, a dramatic example, but if, say you try to paint acrylic paint onto tile, like a marble tile, it'll work no problem because acrylic is plastic-based and it's just going to adhere. Whereas gouache, it'll have nothing to absorb into. So you'll do a big gob of paint onto it and then it'll just, nothing will happen. You can brush it right off afterwards. So you can do gouache on wood. It's an experience I've dabbled with. I wouldn't recommend it. But yeah, other than paper, it's a limited realm of things you can paint gouache with. Paint with gouache.
Uncurious AJ says, OMG, JD is on a roll with these, leaving no stone unturned. Oh, man. Giving you kudos and a pun at the same time. Brilliant. JD Corrigan, do you guys eat snacks while you paint? Maybe I could suggest some
pomegranates. Yes.
Oh, I love that one. Pomegranate's my favorite fruit. Dang. Mm. Okay. That's, yeah, he's on a roll. You're on a roll. Ah. Shoot. No one still, no one has landed on the ones that we're thinking of. Should we give them a hint?
Yeah, we got, we're an hour in, so let's give a hint. The hint for mine, I don't want to be too obvious, but I'll just say donkey.
All right. Let's see. That's a good one. All right. My hint would be sponge. I'm going to say sponge. Just leave it at that.
Just sponge.
Seven Angelic says, if the painting's not going well, we can always start with a clean slate. Yes, precisely. So you don't have to freak out about painting or art in general. Unless there's a deadline, then you just got to get it done. That's the only curse.
Yeah, that's why, honestly, like, I am very excited about going back to school for something else, because I love painting, don't get me wrong, but I got tired of saying, like, yeah, it's no stress, just have fun. Asterisks, unless it's a deadline, in which case, never have fun. You know? I just realized, like, for myself, I like being able to be like, nope, this is your thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, man, I really hope this bug makes an appearance on the camera before the stream's out, because he has been hanging out this whole time. Oh, it's the light. That'll do it.
Sheila says, no, I mean when you put too much on so it clumps on the canvases, is there a technique to make it smooth?
Let's see. If you're talking, in your previous comment, you mentioned acrylic. So if you're talking acrylic, unfortunately, no. Because when acrylic dries, it becomes solid. However, with gouache, and actually now is a good time to revisit this little glob that we did. Ba-ba-da-bum. So that big old glob of alizarin crimson. Let's go over and just for dramatic effect, let's go with a blue. We'll go over it with a light wash of cerulean blue. Now, this is a big flashback to, I think it was Neil who asked if you could do thin wash over thick. So you see how you can, but see how that instantly starts absorbing some of the color underneath it? And it's, boom, that there is purple. So I'm not going to say you can't, because if your goal is to make that, like, I mean, look at that cool purple. It's a beautiful shade of purple with some splotches of red coming beneath it. And that's the kind of look that you can only get by doing a thin layer on top of a thick layer. But is a little, you maybe don't want to plan for that.
Mike Davis says, have either of you used egg tempera to paint or egg tempera paint? No. I can say that real quick, Alex.
Yes. It weirds me out, but yes. No, I actually did enjoy it a lot. I'm on my bucket list is to kind of make my own egg tempera paint one day. I think the reason I didn't stick with it is because it was like a win-win for me, where it was like, wow, this is both difficult to make and lasts for only like a limited amount of time. Where do I sign? You know, it just didn't, I didn't see the draw to it. Pardon the pun.
You know what? I think if any stream, this is the one that you can just show off all the pun skills that you got.
That's a good point. Just, no, I don't pardon that pun. You guys can enjoy it.
Speaking of enjoying, JD Corrigan is up for another one.
Yeah.
Lava, this live stream, super enjoyable. So glad you're enjoying it, man. Thank you for all the puns. These are excellent. Connor Close says, how much gouache respond to inking over it? How does gouache respond to inking over it? I love using watercolor and then overlaying texture with microns. Does gouache act similarly?
It can. I think gouache can if you treat it like watercolor and you make it thin. However, I've noticed that if you thicken up gouache, which is when it can be very, very beautiful, don't get me wrong, but when you thicken it up, it's very hard to start applying microns over it because it has a kind of textured element. But yeah, no, that's a stellar good question.
Anonym says, have you tried casein paints? Again, no. Alex?
Let's see. Is that the brand of gouache that comes in like little jello packets?
Are you asking me or?
I guess I was mostly asking myself. Oh. But now I guess I'll formally ask Anonymous if that's the gouache paint that if that's the brand that comes in little jello packets. Because if not, their name is very similar to that.
Yeah, I wish I could answer more of these painting questions, but not.
I mean, I wish I could answer more of these painting questions.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Is that the jello one? Maybe.
Our prof is saying casein isn't a brand, it's a type of paint, like the way tempera is a type of paint.
You know what? Now I'm thinking, which one is the jello type one? In that case, no, I have not.
Anonin says, casein is a very old kind of paint derived from milk protein.
Oh, I've heard of that at least, though. I'm very curious to try it out. I love the kind of historical route to colors and pigments that we've made up. I don't know. I think the doomsdayer in me is curious about making my own pigments in a post-apocalyptic world. So I kind of want to jot those down. You know?
Be like that episode of Twilight Zone where the dude is the last guy on Earth and he just wants to read.
Yeah. Oh, that poor guy.
There was time now. Oh, that's all.
Honestly, yeah, if we had an apocalyptic wasteland, all the coolest people would take shelter in the art supply stores.
Yeah, basically.
No one else would be going for them, and we'd be like, this is my Alizarin Crimson.
Right. People would be fighting over it like it was the last piece of bread. Uncurious AJ says, the jelly gouache is Himimaya, depending where you buy it.
That's right. Nothing like the other name mentioned. That's like when a customer comes into the shop, I'm like, oh, what was your name? Was it Mike? He's like, Steven. I'm like, no, not even close, but what are you going to do?
Another one for you. 315 Bird is saying, Alex, Shiva is a brand of casein. It's not exactly gouache. It's cheese-based.
What?
Cheese? I guess that's the milk protein part of it.
That's wild. I had no idea. I can see the temptation, actually, because when you think of how some cheeses and milks kind of get old and thicken. Yeah, I can imagine. I'm trying to get in the mindset of whoever invented that. I could definitely be like, hey, this cheese thickens pretty good. Might make a good paint. I can understand that. Okay, a seal of approval. I am not judging it.
There's a lot of how did the first guy discover this types of questions that I have. Like, I saw it a long time ago, and it was like, the person who discovered you can milk a cow. Like, how did you figure that out?
Oh yeah.
You know, just like, huh? Like, what were you doing?
And the incredible trial and error of making butter. Like,
yeah.
One. You got to first like milk the cow, and then you basically mix it up and let it get old, and then eat it. Like, that is a brave, brave, brave soul.
Right? Bizarre. Oh, Jason Wartank says, James Gurney used casein priming for gouache since it absorbs less, dries a bit slower.
Get out of town. That is now speaking my language. Okay, I gotta look into that more. I'm not aware of that. That's so cool.
I'm still kind of lost. It's all good though. I'll just
like it sounds like a way to work with gouache, but kind of tweak its chemical structure a little bit to serve our own ends, like making a Frankenstein's monster paint.
Ooh.
But at what cost?
Bill Lorenz says, Elizabeth Byers, because casein is permanent when it dries, you can use it as an underpainting for gouache.
Oh, that's so cool. Guys, thank you so much for answering these questions. I did not know the answers to, because honestly, this is really making me want to pursue this for my next painting.
You inspired Alex.
Soup is saying glue was invented, made by melting horses together. So there's that.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah. What? Like horses are, I don't know how it works, but they're basically melted down to make glue. I don't know how it works. But yeah, somebody was like, man, this horse is really useful, but I bet it could be sticky.
Wow.
Glue.
That's like one of those Jeopardy trivia type questions that you would just never would have thought of. Connor Close says, I wonder about the permanence of cheese-based paint, though. Perhaps an idea that's only Gouda in theory.
Uh-huh. I was about to make an artist snack joke of like, when I'm around, the permanence of cheese-based paint is about 30 minutes. Is there not?
The puns are out of this world, guys. I can't believe we've been going on it for the entire stream. Like, I'm actually really impressed. Like, I've never seen puns just go on for an hour.
Pew, pew, pew. Yeah, just rapid fire.
Let's see. So we only got a couple more minutes. How's yours going, Alex?
Coming along like Christmas.
That's a great expression. I might steal that.
I love it. Yeah, there's a couple of moments here that I'm really enjoying, like this splotch here on this rock. I'm noticing that this is a perfect moment for alizarin crimson because it's that cooler red, and it's really playing along well with the rock webbing.
Cool. Oh, Jason is asking, how is acrylic gouache different from acrylic paint?
Ooh, that's a good question. Acrylic gouache is very similar to gouache in its handling. But when it dries, it cannot be reworked. So there's an artist named Rich Pellegrino, if I'm not completely missing the mark. And he does beautiful work with acrylic gouache. I cannot find myself enjoying that medium. I've tried it a couple times. I have a few tubes of it, but it just doesn't suit with me. It's the parts of it that are like acrylic aren't enough. It's so much in between acrylic and gouache that it kind of weirds me out. But I mean, I say Rich Pellegrino because I've seen people do absolutely beautiful things with acrylic gouache. So if you're one of those who's painting and you kind of want something more, acrylic gouache might be a good thing to try out for you. It's a unique medium that I don't know a lot of people who are really proficient in it.
After fussing with this for the entire time, I think I'm finally getting it to the point where it's appealing. Oh, okay, this actually looks close to what I'm going for. Not perfect. I'm getting closer, and I can work with getting closer. Maybe only got a couple minutes, but you know.
The cool thing with painting these rocks is, like, I don't know about you, I feel like if we really wanted to, we could have just zoomed in on one single stone and just spent the whole time on that, like all these nooks and crannies and cracks and crevices.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about doing that before we started the stream, and then I was like, nah, maybe I'll just do the whole thing. But there's definitely an appeal to doing stuff like that, and maybe next time that's what I'll do. I don't know. You okay?
Oh yeah, my elbow hit my palate.
Oh, okay. Neil is asking, Jordan, how will you render the rock texture? Will you paint individual strokes by hand? Well, considering we only have about 4 minutes left, I'll probably just not get to that today. But typically what I would do is I would actually just find a textured brush. I used one here a little bit. And so let's try this one, actually, just for the sake of answering your question. I might go in and just paint some textures like that, and just figure out how it would go. And ordinarily, if I were doing something like what Alex is doing, I'd probably rely much more on the individual strokes and picking the right brushes and things like that. But yeah, this is probably the best method for what I'm doing.
Let's see. Here we go.
The other thing I'm trying to make sure I do is have really prominent angles too, because I don't want the rocks to look, you know, soft at all. That can be a very common thing I notice, actually. They're supposed to be like the hardest things on the earth, and people make them look like jello sometimes. And that's something I try to avoid at all costs. JD Corrigan says, sounds like Alex's palette wasn't between a rock and a hard place, otherwise it would have fallen off.
I have always have my palettes in the most precarious situations around me, just resting on stools and things like that. It's like a thing I do every time. My dog always jumps up and then she goes back to sleep.
Oh, we just got a super sticker from RBX100. So thank you so much for supporting RProf. You are super awesome. And everyone else who has donated to us in the past, you guys are awesome too.
Yeah, thank you so much, y'all.
Hey, Alex, since we're about to wrap up in a couple minutes and no one has guessed either the puns we were hoping someone would say, do you want to just spill the beans?
Oh yeah, right when we started, just a scene from that great film on the human condition, Shrek. Donkey's just, that is a nice boulder. Oh, look at that boulder. That's a nice boulder.
Yeah, such a great, just a classic.
I've got to watch that tonight.
The one I was thinking of was from SpongeBob. I think it was the pizza delivery episode where SpongeBob is like, it's not just a boulder, it's a rock. A rock! And he starts crying. I love those. Old school SpongeBob was the best. It was so funny.
Oh my God, yeah.
I went to visit my mom a couple months ago, like in August or something. And for some reason, I just turned on SpongeBob just because I saw it in one of the old episodes from when I was like 4 or 5. And I was like crying. It was so funny. And I just missed those days, you know? Those were the best.
100%, dude. It's so good. I felt that with Ren and Stimpy the other day. I just like was looking up scenes on YouTube, which I hadn't seen since I was a wee lad.
Oh man, Ren and Stimpy, that used to be one of my shows too. And actually, I watched one not too long ago. It was Stimpy's cartoon episode. You know that one where he's making his own animated thing, and Ren becomes like this taskmaster. That's great. Neil has a question. Alex, how is it possible to deal with dog hairs stuck in acrylic paintings?
I just live with it. In fact, I've joked with the past couple commissions I've sold. I've just full-on told people, I was like, hey, there's going to be some dog hairs in this painting. You okay with that? Because like, it's just, and the apartment as small as ours is, there's no way around it. There's going to be some dog hairs in things. Which I like. And you know what? If you can't handle my dog hair in your painting, then maybe I don't want you wanting my painting.
I just want to point out this comment from Shasta Hill. Somebody guessed that, Jordan. I am sorry I missed that. I was drawing. And then Shasta also says, Alex is, quote, proof tough. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the live stream. Right after this, we are going to be in the Discord channel and Art Alongs. So please share your work with us. We'll be there in a couple of minutes. And join us in, oh, it was that link. I'm sorry. I chose the wrong button. anyway, join us in Art Prof Discord afterwards. Please subscribe to the Art Prof YouTube channel. And we want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. You guys are so awesome. You mean the world to us for helping us stay afloat and keeping our prof alive and well. So again, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all next time. Peace.